Yeah, hi Jeff, it's Darren. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Appreciate you taking the time to have a chat with me about your film Loving. The story of Mildred and Richard Loving is a story that I'd never heard of, but it's such an incredible piece of basically history. Why did you want to tell this story?
Oh, because I was in the same boat. I found out about this in 2012 when I saw Nancy Bersky's documentary, and I was kind of ashamed as an American that this, wasn't part of my, historical lexicon. And I felt like there were probably a lot of other Americans that were in the same boat. And it was something that, it felt like something that needed to be done. But more importantly, for me, obviously, it felt like something that I could actually do.
You've previously written and directed films such as like Take Shelter, Mud, Midnight Special. What was the biggest test for you writing a script based on a true story?
It was really just, trying to be respectful of who I thought they were, and not getting to ever meet them, not getting to see them in real life interacting with one another. We had this amazing archival footage, and we had the photographs, and I had their daughter Peggy to speak to, and Phil Hirschhoff, one of the lawyers. But that none of that really replaces being able to sit in a room with them, or get to know them, which I really would have liked to do. That kind of paralyzed me as a writer for a good period of time when I set out to do this. You just kind of feel like a phony when you're making up your own characters from scratch, which is what I normally do. You don't have that hesitance to put something down on the page. And some people have critiqued the film for this, which I guess would make sense. But I just didn't want to do anything that was against their nature or what I was interpreting to be their kind of nature or essence.
Going to a film, obviously, that's a true story. Is your pre-production process different?
It kind of is, actually. Usually when it's something that I've hatched from my own mind, I sit down with each department head and we do a page turn through the script, and I just tell them everything that's in my brain and everything as to what every piece of clothing looks like and what every set looks like. And it's very easy for me because I've kind of been dreaming it in my head. And I certainly was dreaming this, but in a different way. I went to each department head and said, "Look, I was born in the late 70s. I don't know what is period correct down to the plate. And
Yeah.
so I'm going to be leaning on you all to do that in terms of hair, makeup, wardrobe, set dressing, cars. I really leaned on my crew more than I ever have before in that stage,
Was that one of the reasons why you shot the film near Richmond where the actual events took place?
It certainly helped. I mean, part of it was because we had access to Bowling Green. I mean, that was the real courthouse they were tried in, and the exterior, at least, we had to use a different interior, but that was the real exterior of the jail that they were originally held in. But also, there's just this, there was a feeling of that place, those rolling hills and that farmland on the, I'm from Arkansas, which is the Delta, which is flat. And you have this big flat expanse that you saw in my first film, Shotgun Stories. But this is different. They planted on these gentle slopes and everything else. And it was very, very beautiful. And I think it certainly grounded the film. I think it also grounded the experience. It reminded everybody that what we were doing isn't just, some movie, but that we actually have to kind of honor the place and the people that walked in it. And primarily, though, when you have a character like Mildred, I should say a person like Mildred, who I do feel was very connected to the place itself, to the nature, to the dirt. It made a lot of sense to be in that place,
Yeah, no, definitely. So in regards to your casting process, what was it about Joel and Ruth that made you think that they would be the perfect Mildred and Richard?
Well, it's funny. I have to admit, I wasn't really thinking about them as a couple, meaning these two actors that are from different parts of the planet that have to show up and have a week and a half to get to know each other and then portray one of the greatest love stories in American history. I was just trying to find people that looked and sounded like them. And I know that sounds even more strange, given that I've cast an Irish woman and an Australian man. But Ruth was the first one to audition for the part. And she walked in the door and had obviously been studying the documentary. She had Mildred built, the real mechanics of that voice and her posture and her countenance. She really had that nailed. And separately, I was working at the same time with Joel on Midnight Special. And, you know, if you close one eye and knock 10 pounds off of him and shave his head in a weird way and bleached it blonde, it kind of looks like him. And and I had been so, and I know Australians and actors are famous for this, but I had been so impressed with the way he handled the mechanics of dialect on Midnight Special, because he was playing a Texas state trooper and I live in Texas. And I knew we had just enough of the real Richard speaking in this very strange dialect that Joel would be able to nail that, not to mention the mannerisms and everything else.
Yeah. Joel's a great actor. I've been a huge fan of his for many years, and I've interviewed him before as well. So I think that was a great choice, having him in the role of Richard as well.
Thanks.
So what kind of direction and preparation did Joel and Ruth actually have prior to shooting? Was it mainly the documentary footage and discussions with you and on what you wanted to do, or how did you task that? How did you work with that?
Yeah, and not even so many discussions with me. It really was the documentary footage. You know, Ruth apparently had an audio loop of Mildred's voice that she would go to sleep listening to. You know, Joel did the same thing in terms of having audio that I think he would drive around and listen to, and was just constantly working on that voice. The first thing, the first pragmatic thing we did with Joel was build the teeth. Because if you see footage of Richard Loving, he had very bad teeth.
Yeah.
And we knew we wanted to somehow represent that. And so that's the first thing we did, mainly because when you're building a dialect like that, you can do all the work, but then if you haven't done it with your mouth prosthetic in, it changes everything, the way you hold your tongue to get move through the mouth and everything else. And so we had to get the teeth in first, and then Joel could start building the voice. And then it was a matter of just getting them to Virginia, which, like I said, we only had about a week, I think 2 weeks maybe, before we started shooting. But they... But it was really nice because I don't rehearse, you know, and so it wasn't really about that. It was more about them being together as human beings, but also in this place. And I do think it had an effect on them, for sure.
You also had Peggy Loving come to set one day. Is that correct?
Yeah, she actually came a couple of days. Yeah.
What was that experience like, and what was her reaction to the movie in general?
A few times I've talked to her since she's seen the film. I think she's really proud of it. Although she said something very true when we first started. She's like, you're not going to be any better than the documentary. So she has a sense of humor. I guess you'd call it sense of humor, but it's not really a joke. She was telling the truth, and she's right. Because, you know, from her perspective, that documentary, she's watching herself. She's watching her family members. So, you know, it's not like we were going to beat that anyway. So I tried to get as close as possible. And she would mess with me. The first time she came to set, you know, here we are. I've worked for 3 years on this script and this project and putting all this stuff together, and all these departments have been together for months. And she shows up, and it was one of the scenes where they were passing, you know, plates around the dinner table. We put it underneath the Supreme Court arguments at the end of the film.
Yes.
And she says, well, you got that wrong. What's that, Peggy? What did we get wrong? And she said, We never had dishes that nice. Like, all right, fair enough. And then she laughed and, you know, went and gave Joel a big hug. But yeah, she's a pretty remarkable lady, Peggy. And she was very supportive, but it wasn't like, she's not the type of person, she's a lot like a dad, you know, she's not the type of person that just sat down and information spilled out of her. She was real quiet, and every time I've met her, she seems like she's watching things, you know. Certainly it felt like she was watching me and kind of judging, not in a negative way, but she was observing me, to be sure.
You shot this film on, well, this movie on film. Is that your general preference when you're going into a project?
It is. That's what I've shot all five films, you know, on, and it's just, it's the way we work. I've had the same cinematographer on all five films, although we shot a commercial for the Olympics not too long ago, and that was on Alexa. And we did a little bit of the night driving stuff in Midnight Special on Alexa, so it's not that we're completely, you know, and Adam, that's my cinematographer, he shot stuff on Alexa before. So we're not totally foreign to it, but it is a process that I like a lot. And I'll say this, for a period piece, it seemed especially necessary. I know other people have done them on digital, and I suppose the results are fine, but it felt especially important on this one. I think, you know, usually I try to write, you know, usually I write contemporary films made, you know, from scratch, and we go to the places and I try to take something that's fake in the sense that I made it up.
Yeah.
But I try to lodge it into reality by placing it in real situations. Well, here, there, everything was fake. Everything was an artifice because you had to bring in everything, the cars and the clothes and everything. And so when you're standing on set, you know, you've got this, you have to put blinders on to see just what's in the frame, because the magic is broken as soon as you turn to your left and you see, you know, a present day van sitting there with a Teamster sitting there. it's not as easy to get lost in it. And so I feel like shooting on film, it really helped me when I was looking at dailies kind of get lost in it, because it comes baked in, you know. You can certainly make digital look beautiful, but it's a process. It's a process in post that you kind of have to do, and to give it that, you know, to take the sharpness out of it and to kind of take the edge out of it, which is really appropriate for some projects. But on this one, it was really nice to sit down and look at the dailies, and they just already looked and felt like a movie, you know, like something I believe.
No, I'm with you. I miss projection. I miss cinema projection. I miss seeing the grain and the little bit of scratches and the dust on the print. And yeah, I do miss those days a lot. But I think it's a great choice that you continue to shoot on film, and hopefully you definitely continue to do that in the future, because there's not that too many directors these days that do that.
No. Although, how about that Dunkirk trailer? That thing looks pretty good.
That does.
I desperately want to shoot 70mm. 70mm is my dream.
Well, that's the worst thing. 70mm, like where I live, there's no 70mm projection at all. So I've got to get on a plane for 4 hours to watch a 70mm film, which is a little bit disappointing because I'd love to see Dunkirk in 70mm. Because that trailer, that whole film just looks incredible, and I can't wait to see it. But yeah, so do you actually have a list of actors that you want to work with? Have you got like a wish list of talent?
I do, you know, I do. Just people that pop out to you, you know, and you'll watch things here and there, and you'll say, that person, I want to work with that. I'm going to work with that person. Like there's, do you know this actor, Jesse Plemons?
No.
You should look him up. He was in the second season of Fargo, but he was originally on that TV show Friday Night Lights. But he's from Texas.
Yes, I do know him. I just Googled him.
I just find him. Yeah, he was on Breaking Bad.
Yeah, he's great.
I think he's fascinating. I think that guy's really interesting. That's just as an example. I mean, that's just somebody I haven't worked with that I've seen do things, and I just and I'm just like, man, I want to find something to do with that guy sometime. Not that that always works out, but that, yeah, I've got a running list.
You, what are you working on at the moment? I heard on the grapevine there's an Alien Nation reboot, remake, or whatever we're going to call it happening.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what people do call it. Yeah, that's what I'm writing right now. Fox approached me about it, and I had some ideas, and they seemed to like them, so they're paying me to write it. And that's really my day-to-day right now, is trying to make that something that really speaks to me. You know, it's given me a tremendous amount of leeway, for better or worse.
That's good.
To kind of invent this world and this situation. And so it's a pretty big departure from the original series, which might be a calculated error. But hopefully the thing that I create, you know, I don't know, hopefully it pleases people. But I'm in the thick of it right now. You know, I spend my days thinking about what it would be like to have two intelligent species on this planet.
Oh, that's great. Well, Jeff, I appreciate you taking the time to have a chat with me today, and good luck with the writing Alien Nation. I'm sure it'll be great. Thanks again for directing Loving. It's an incredible film. It's something that I never knew about living in Australia. I'd never heard of that story. So that's one of the reasons why I love watching movies, is because I get to find out parts of history I didn't know about, and then I can research them myself afterwards.
Sure.
So, yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Yeah, well, thanks for writing about the film. We appreciate it. Okay.
Thanks, Jeff.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.